Welcome back to the Final Shot Podcast. Today is my last episode in this studio. We're going to be shutting it down for a few weeks and I'm going to build a new one. But for the last episode, I decided to bring in my main man, the guy I go to for boxing news when I can't get it, Manny Montreal. How's it going, brother?
I'm great, man. I'm great. Congratulations on moving the studio.
Thank you.
That's great news, brother.
Before we get into anything crazy, I just want to give a shout out to Tony Lewis's father. He came down with cancer, and thoughts are with you, and I hope you get a speedy recovery and nothing shitty happens.
Fuck, I thought it was only a heart thing.
He got diagnosed with prostate cancer.
Fuck. Good dude, man. Good dude. He'll beat it.
Oh, I have no doubt that he'll beat it. If anything, Tony Lewis will beat it for him. Manny, boxing's back. We had a great event that went down in Shawinigan, Quebec with the three fights that happened. We haven't had a chance to talk about them yet. A couple of them were quick.
Yeah, well, I mean, okay, obviously, if we could, you know, have boxing back under perfect circumstances, maybe we could poo-poo this one, yeah. Right? But considering he is the only show going across Canada right now, the only guy that was able to put a show together, he was limited to three fights, and then choice of opponent, as you know, not taking anything away from the opponents, you know, respect to them for stepping in the ring, especially under these circumstances, but it is kind of what we get, you know. Thankfully, the Lemieux fight gave us a little more steak, you know. It wasn't all sizzle. But, yeah, no, I mean, the first fight, Lexen Metzger, I mean, he just made history. Youngest NABF champion. And he did it, I think, in the quickest fashion to date. So, you know, he sets himself two nice little precedents. Young fighter, plenty of room to grow. Unfortunately, at 168 pounds and where he's at, you know, where our choices are going to be limited until the borders open up. But there will be work for him. Hopefully, somebody you and I both know can step in and fit the bill and really put this kid to the test and let us see whether or not he is the next. And that candidate would be no one other than Dario Berdichian, super duper Dario Berdichian.
There's not a better guy to step up and take a challenge against him. Tough southpaw, training, in shape, ready to rumble.
Listen, I went back and when I saw all this, right, I went back and watched a couple of his fights. Because he took a little time off. And like you said, he's back in training and everything. So I just wanted to remind myself of why I was into him to begin with, right? And, man, he was like a meaner Boutte.
He's a slick little fucker.
Oh, shit, man. You know, like if I'm questioning what his grown man strength's going to be like now. Because he, you get what I'm saying? Like he was at the end point of him being a boy, so to speak.
Yeah.
And now he's a full-blown man. So I'm watching him do his little Instagram videos and stuff. I'm like, oh, fuck. Okay.
He's not all small. Right. He's not small either. He's like 6 foot two, 6 foot three, something like that.
It's a shame. It's a shame a promoter didn't see what I see in this kid. I mean, on the outside packaging is just fucking, I mean, come on. Come on. With all these fucking lame YouTube ass wipes getting fucking, this kid will put them to shame. And then on top of that, he can talk a game too.
He's got personality, which is amazing. He's great on a microphone. I used to bring him on this damn show every week.
Sharp as a tack.
Yeah.
Sharp as a tack. So, anyways, enough gushing about Dario. The point is, he would be an ideal candidate to fight Lexen Metzger. You and I are both pushing for this fight, and hopefully other people get behind it. I happen to know it's not going to be super easy, but it is plausible to bring him down here. And like I said, their options are limited. So that would be one hell of a fight. It's actually something this pandemic is making us look forward to.
It's a win-win situation for Eye of the Tiger, though. Let's say they do fight and Dario beats him. We got another star. We got a star.
He'll sign Dario.
We got a star.
Yeah. And he's signing Dario.
Yeah, he's signing him, hands down. And they're keeping Lexan.
Yeah, well, listen, if let's say the fight does go down, right? Lexan wins. Lexan's the real deal, right? And you know to you know, start trading stock heavily on him, right? Because Dario was at that point where, you know, he was cracking the top 15.
Yep.
So if the kid could do work against Dario, and I'm serious work here, not just squeakers, but like if he does serious work against a guy like Dario, I'll back him all the way to a world championship. You know, it's that kind of fight. You'll really know. It'll be a real measuring stick for the kid.
100%. The second fight of the night was Arslan Bekmekhmudov versus Big Country Dylan Carman, which I thought was going to be something different. But Jesus Christ, this guy Arslan Bek touches people and they go out. And I love Dylan.
It's a hell of a problem for Camilo Stephan to have. It's a good problem, but it's a hell of a problem. Because here's a guy that did 24 rounds with Simon Keane, your second best heavyweight, right? And your best heavyweight dispatches him in under 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Listen, there is the old adage of heavyweight boxing is heavyweight boxing. You never fucking know. That's why it's the division that everyone always has an eye on, because things can turn on a dime. And, you know, unfortunately for Dylan Carman, he didn't even get to turn the dime on because it just got shut down at, I believe it was the second punch of the fight.
27 seconds.
Yeah. So, you know, and I don't know what to say for Carman right now. You know, like he can come back. I wouldn't say shot, you know, like no. there's. Unfortunately, it was quick, yes, but there's not much you can do, you know what I mean, other than some time off. The only thing that really disappoints me is that the boogeyman didn't get him first.
Who, you know, Arslan Bek? Dylan?
Yes, Dylan Carman. No, I would not wish Arslan Bekmekhmudov on anybody, including my man Adam. I love Adam. I've in a street fight, right, where odds are at stake that are, you know, a little heavier than the ring, I'll pick Adam.
Yeah.
I'll pick Adam any day of the week. But, you know, in boxing right now, just Arslan Bek's just got too much amateur background. I would love for them to spar. I would love for Adam to get some work with him. That, absolutely. But there's no need for Adam to fight him. I'm scared that it might happen, actually, because, you know, again, choices are limited.
I have my ear to the ground, and I kind of hear rumblings of what's next for him a little bit. And it's got something to do with Eye of the Tiger.
All right. Well, no, that's kind of – listen, that's just smart business.
Yeah.
Right? That's just smart business. The boogeyman's been gone from the ring for too long. And, you know, something like that you don't keep on the shelf.
No.
Now, as far as Arslan Bek, I mean, he's with Golden Boy, and they can move him along pretty quickly, and Golden Boy can get him across the border. So I'm hoping, you know, we keep him away from our boy for all intents and purposes. But, I wouldn't even want Dylan Carman to get a second chance at Mahmoudov. Even with that 30 seconds, there's nothing I need to see more. You know what I mean? There isn't like, oh, well, what if this would have happened? Good.
Do we see an Arslan Bek Simon Keane fight?
No, never.
Never?
Never gonna happen. Never gonna happen. You're never gonna see him fight him. That I can guarantee you, or Kaboom Rivas.
Really?
Yeah, it's real easy. They're all in the same gym.
Okay. I didn't know.
Mark Ramsey's basically gonna decide that. You see, Keane's with Vincent.
Yeah.
And you know, hell of a young trainer, by the way. Shout out to Vincent Auclair. I really like him. I think in the next 5-6 years, he's going to be the guy that people are talking about, like Ramsey. He's a real hell of a coach. And you know, he's Simon Keane had to change coaches, and you know, ended up with him, and he's under Mark Ramsey. He's one of Mark Ramsey's seconds. So Mark has about four guys under him, and they all have boxers.
Okay.
Not all of them, but some of them have boxers, and Vincent's one of them. So Simon gets to spar Arslan Beck on the regular. Same goes for Kaboom Rivas, who's also with Mark Ramsey. And that's the other thing. I mean, you know, Mark's a hell of a coach and everything, but you almost don't need him for Arslan Beck. As fucked as it sounds, you know, that last fight, you know, Mark could have stayed home.
When I had Simon on the podcast, I talked to him a little bit about Arslan Beck, and apparently they get a little heated in sparring.
Yeah, no, I don't. I think if you talk to Arslan Beck, you would probably hear the opposite. He would probably be shocked by it. Really?
I don't think Arslan Beck gives a flying fuck about much, though.
No, you ever go to the farm and then you see a big bull, right? And then there's all kinds of flies around his eye. And you're like, why the fuck does the bull not even give a fuck about the flies? And that's because the bull doesn't fucking notice them.
Well, right?
It's kind of like that. So if Keen's giving him hell or, you know, feeling aggressive in there, I doubt the any of the water temperature in the veins of Arslan Beck Makhmudov has changed from ice cold.
Probably not. And the third fight of the evening was David Lemieux versus, was it Francis Ntetu?
Ntetu.
Ntetu?
That's how you say it. Okay. Ntetu.
Good fight.
Think like an Egyptian prince. Ntetu.
Okay, I'm down with it. David looked fantastic, though.
Yeah, listen. I was worried, right? Because David's last showing at 168, and then on top of that, he had a nasty track record against hometown fights.
Yeah.
The couple times his career got derailed were, you know, hometown fights. So I was a little nervous for it. And Francie, you know, for all intents and purposes, had nothing to lose. Right? And that's fucking dangerous as fuck. He made the major mistake of staying on the ropes with David. He gave David exactly what he wanted.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you noticed another thing, which I can pretty much guarantee for the rest of David's career. But did you notice the size of the ring?
Yes, I did notice the size of the ring, especially when the big boys were in there.
Okay, well, it kind of sucked for the big boys. God damn it, I lost my lighter, and now this is going to fuck with me. It kind of sucks for the big boys, but for David, it's now become a mandatory thing. You will never see David in a big-ass ring again. It's never going to happen. The last time it happened was with Billy Joe.
Yeah.
And that was a huge shit show. They made a big fuss about the ring, and it was like a big thing to get that ring. And obviously it paid in their favor, so it was smart of them to do, right?
Yeah.
But that was the last time Camille will get that card played on him. So you will never see David Lemieux in a giant ring unless it's like to fight Canelo, and Canelo's obviously calling the shots.
Well, I talked to Emmanuel Esteban on the podcast a couple days before the fight card, and she had told me that that Francie was talking shit.
Oh, yeah.
Now, we've seen what happened with Spike O'Sullivan when Spike O'Sullivan talked shit about David Lemieux. David Lemieux cut through him like a hot knife through butter.
Yeah. And you know, O'Sullivan, people forget because they see the mustache and they want to think comical things and whatnot. But prior to that fight, he was a real bad motherfucker. He was laying down some serious work. You go look at his highlights. He's got some beautiful fights.
Yeah.
So you're absolutely right. A motivated David's a fucking terrifying thing. I'll say this to you. I'll tell you what my birds are saying. It looks like Ryder is going to be next. So we're probably looking at Matchroom Boxing. Ooh. We're probably looking at sending David overseas.
That's a good thing.
It's a very good thing because we need to get him a fight on the zone. Not necessarily in front of a big crowd, but in front of a larger viewer. You know, and to get him ranked again, to get him, you know, he's got to beat a guy like Ryder would be the right type of fighter to get him back in the talkings for top five so that he can maybe challenge for a belt at some point.
A lot of people have been calling for David Lemieux versus Ryan Ford, which would be a great fight.
Listen, if we're still stuck with this border situation and Golden Boy doesn't exactly move on the writer fight for David, I'm all for it. I am all for it. I've been begging for a Ryan Ford fight in Canada for I don't know how long. You know, he should have been a Canadian product a long time ago. He should be a household name. Solid dude, family man. Just a great fight story in general from A to Z. And, you know, if you look at it, what better way to bookend the motherfucker by fighting, you know, Canada's number 168-pounder? A guy that's been on HBO, that's been on The Zone, that's, you know, made it to the mountaintop, so to speak. Yeah, that would be definitely a hard fight for me to pick a winner.
Yeah.
Right? And because I've been rooting for David since day one, right? But I like Ryan. I like Ryan a lot. And if he got that fight, I'd be very pleased. I'd be very pleased for him. I'd be happy for him. Just all around for him getting the opportunity, you know?
It's the one time I'll tell you I don't know who would win in a Ryan Ford fight if he fought David Lemieux. I don't know who would win.
Well, because Ryan's fought some tough dudes, right? We'll cut Boazzi out of the conversation because, let's face it, he's a pussy that hits people in the balls.
Yeah.
But everyone else Ryan fought was at a certain level, right? And for the most part, you know, there's a couple controversial losses, I'd say. But, you know, for the most part, he held his own. And David's at that other level. So we'd really get to know, you know, because with Ryan, there's always the question of, you know, he's fighting in Russia. And I don't know if you know this, but he's probably not in the majority out there as far as skin tone is concerned.
No.
And they're a lively bunch, you know, just that whole European, Polish, Russia. And he's been going to those places nonstop, you know, getting fights and basically places where he's more or less set up to be the bad guy and to make the hometown guy look good or get a belt or whatever, right? And obviously he's ruined that for a couple guys.
Yeah, it made fans though too.
Yeah, because, you know, all those things get laid to the side when you're watching a fight, so to speak. You know, yeah. That's the beauty of boxing that translates around the world, you know?
Yeah.
But, that would be an awesome fight for Ryan. It would be the right progression for his career. It would be it would be a Canadian thing. It would sell. I know that fucking thing would sell. Because that's the other thing. He's a hell of a promotion machine. And, you know, Francie being Francie and everything, that's great. But Ryan would get some fucking... It would be, publicity-wise, I think it'd be a much bigger fight than Francie Ned.
I wouldn't mind seeing the Francie fight with Ryan Ford either, though.
Hell, that'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. You know, like, if they could set that up, I'd be down for that, too.
Because, you know, Francie's going to pipe off. and Ryan can talk.
Look, you know what Francie is? Francie's a professional.
Yeah.
And although he'll pipe off, he's a professional. And he's doing it for the promotion.
Yeah.
Like, I need you to understand that Francie was in the gym so many times with David. They were sparring partners, right? That, like, if this was real heat, I could have written a dozen things for David to bury Francie. You know, seeing as how David's the one that paid you for the last 2 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a few things there. But, you know, the hype was, he knew to get eyes on to get the journalists talking, to get the French media out here calling him up for interviews. They're like, you said what? You know, and they'd call him up. He's very smart at that stuff. The guy's a professional when it comes to training, the whole bit. Afterwards, the hatchet was buried. It was just business. So I think he would come with that same heat, that same energy for anything. And him and Ryan could probably set it off.
I think they could sell that fight fairly easily. Maybe if that David Lemieux thing would ever come to fruition, the Francie fight might be a little more attainable, which would be interesting.
And it might actually be a little easier to make because Francie's more or less a free agent and speaks for himself. So you could call him direct and book him for a fight.
Not a bad thing. And then also, let's just talk about one thing real quick. A lot of people were bitching about the Punch and Grace feed. There was a lot of talking and all that shit. Listen, there's three fights. You also got a free fight from Arslan Bekmakhmudov when he fought that other fella. Plus, they announced one of the biggest tournaments in Canadian boxing history, the Four Aces Tournament.
Yeah, well, they gave you a Steve Claggett versus Germain fight.
Yeah.
They gave you Arslan Beck versus Johnny Rice, which Johnny Rice just fought like last week against another major heavyweight in the States. I forget. But the point is, that was Arslan Beck's toughest fight, actually.
Yeah.
Right? So they gave you a pretty decent fight to watch and understand who Arslan Beck was, despite the fact that the Dylan Carman fight went so quickly, right? So, I mean, all things considered, first event and, you know, them trying to make it happen, they were literally the area they were in was okay when they started this whole process. But when they were filming, it was shut down.
Oh.
The only reason it still went off is because they started when it was in the yellow zone and everyone quarantined. And he got everyone tested. So
smart.
But yeah, well, it had a week more been put on there, he would have been screwed.
Fuck.
Yeah, we lucked out. People don't realize how hard this was to make happen. There's a reason there's no other shows anywhere else. You know what I mean?
The production value of the whole thing was great.
Listen, I know they were trying some new stuff because they're just coming back. And oh, I'm sorry, but I'm getting freaking all kinds of text messages. I know that they were trying out some new stuff, and you know they were more or less getting the rust out of their wheels because it's been a little while since they got the whole thing put together again. There's a lot of phone calls to make and a lot of business to handle that week. You know,
yeah.
Now with the COVID, it makes everything even more difficult. So. I mean, you can't do fucking interviews. You can't. And if you do, you got to be spaced out. And you may as well do a Zoom call. You understand? So what else are they going to show you? What else do you understand? If they can't have, had it just been three fights, we would have had, what, 7 times 3? So we would have had about half an hour's worth of fucking boxing.
Yep.
You understand? Instead, we got a couple hours worth of content for our money. I don't see the big deal. I mean, people just want to whine.
Oh, and we got that Four Aces tournament with Ulysses Claggett, G-Time, and what's the other fellow's name?
David Theroux.
That's it. I don't know much about him, but I know the other three fairly well.
Well, David Theroux was ranked a couple okay. years ago. And in this weight class, he was a big favorite. Now, he obviously took a loss or two. And then made some managerial and coaching changes. And, you know, kind of his career kind of stuttered there for a bit. This would be his opportunity to light the fires up again. He's known as a hard-hitting dude. Kind of a Gaddy style. The fact that him and Claggett are fighting first, holy sweet mother. Because it's basically two guys that it's going to be... I think if they made a poster with two guys just facing each other, that would sum up the entire fight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because they're just going to be in each other's grills. There's whoever wins, right, is probably going to win by TKO or knockout.
Well,
it's not going to decision.
With the tournament, the way it stands with the four gentlemen, I believe there's two front runners. Number one is Ulysses, and number two is the Death Machine, Steve Claggett.
Yeah, despite the fact that you called him the Death Machine, I just want to point out that you had to say Ulysses was first.
It's because you're my guest today. I had to.
No, I would have argued your ass on it.
But there's two guys that are probably the front runners, and that's not shitting on G-Time or the other guy, because I think they're both great too.
No. It just is what it is. It was like that before this tournament. If you asked any boxing journalists, if you looked at BoxRec, if you looked at any other ratings, it's pretty much the way it goes. You know, and it's more or less because of the way their fights got diced up. Now, who knows, once we get a third fight, who's really going to be number one, but we're going to find out soon.
So the first fight is going to be Ulysses versus G-Time. That's November.
Yeah. And November 24th.
Will Claggett and Theroux, is that his last name?
Theroux.
Are they going to fight on the same card?
Yep.
Okay. So that's going to be main event, co-main event kind of thing.
Yeah, basically. Well, what I think, that obviously they're going to have to play up with the motif, and I know he's trying hard to get maybe two more fights on top of the three that are confirmed. The third fight being Simon Keen versus
Stan
Silverback.
Cermak. Yeah.
Say his last name.
Stan Cermak.
Cermak, that's it. I kept fucking up his last name the last time.
I'm not excited for that fight.
Listen, it's a heavyweight fight. If you're paying $11, you gotta put your everyday fan pants on, right?
I guess,
and look at it that way, right? And $11 is worth Claggett alone. $11 is worth Ulysses alone. Not only you're gonna get to see both those guys fight against arguably number three and number four in Canada. Just that night alone is very much worth it. Then you're going to get a heavyweight fight, and I know he's going to try and get another one or two in there. So hopefully, fingers crossed, the commission plays along. They see how well the first show went. That's the other thing people got to realize. He needed to get that first little show out of the way to like show them, look, no one tested positive. I got everybody tested. We got the hotel rooms. We did that. We did this. Now he has proof. So if he asks for another event and he asks for certain things, you know, they're more than likely going to be more receptive to it.
Well, I say I'm not excited about the Stan Cermak Simon Keen fight solely because Stan is a friend.
Okay.
And Stan's had a long layoff. And Simon Keen, as much as I don't really want to say it, he's a motherfucker.
Oh, he's real as it gets. We're talking heavyweights, right? We kind of already know the outcome. We don't know the winner, but we already kind of know the outcome.
Somebody's going to sleep.
Basically. So, you know, I get your worry. It is what it is, but then it can always go the other way. What if?
Simon has wrecked my night too many fucking times for me to get invested in another one of his damn fights.
Yeah, I don't blame you. But nonetheless, the big boys are going to put down, and it's going to be fun. And it'll be an interesting night of boxing. I mean, P.S., if you are with Punch and Grace, you are also going to get an event November 14th, I believe. I got to confirm the date, so check with me or Tanner. But Mexico.
Oh.
Yes. Three fights in Mexico on a card over there. Now, from what I understand, there's a possibility it's going to be shown on Punch and Grace. Nice. Maybe we're going to get a Spanish announce team. I don't know. But we're talking Thomas Chabot. We're talking Leila Beaudoin. Now, Thomas Chabot, they call him the Ghost. I really, 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 really like this kid. I see big things. If it wasn't for this pandemic right now, by the end of this year, everyone would have been talking about him. Like, he's the new it kid.
Okay.
Then you got Leila Beaudoin, hard-hitting, just a phenomenal boxer in her own right, who's been dying to get back in the ring, who was actually our first casualty of this whole pandemic shutting down the fights, because she was supposed to have a fight the week of when they shut everything down.
Okay.
So this is like, you know, it's only common sense that she gets her crack. And making his pro debut, Luis Santana, big amateur background, very well known in the amateur boxing scene here in Montreal, trains with Ulysses. His coach is the same coach as Simon Keen, that Vincent Claguet, I was saying, who I'm very big on too. So, you know, just an opportunity to watch some Canadian talent do work. As far as I'm concerned, quite possibly Luis Santana, depending on what his opponents are going to look like, you know, he has a real opportunity to get some work done because, from what I understand, you know, getting four-rounders done is a lot easier than doing big fights right now. So maybe we can get him a couple of fights before the end of the year. And I want to point out, it's not going to be on Punch and Grace as far as I know, but going down in Russia, we've got three other Tigers fighting November 2nd. Artem Organizayan. These names, man. These fucking names. I'm trying to remember the other dude's name. Vlad the Terrible. Fuck. They got a new kid doing his pro debut.
Okay.
I forget his name. And then they got the cop kid, the kid that's an officer back home. Fuck, I'm blanking on their names, but go check my Instagram post. I made a post about it before. So all in all, in November, I can confirm that there's going to be at least 10 fighters from Eye of the Tiger boxing. So if you're with another promoter, maybe you should be asking yourself what you're doing.
Yeah, probably. So back to this Four Aces thing. So we've got Ulysses G-Time first, and then we've got Claggett versus Teru, and then we've got Claggett versus Ulysses, or is it winner? Or is it it's already matched?
No. Okay. So the second round's already picked, which obviously means the third round's already picked.
Okay.
Second round is going to be Germain versus Claggett.
Okay.
And Ulysses versus Teru. And then, obviously, third round should be Ulysses Claggett, Teru G-Time. Now, the way it works is, if you win by unanimous decision or KO, you get 3 points. If you win by decision, split decision or whatever, right? As long as it's not unanimous, you get 2 points. If it's a draw, you get 1 point. If it's a loss, obviously nothing, right?
Yeah.
The fighter with the most points goes directly to the final.
Okay.
So after two rounds, they're going to calculate. You understand? And the fighter with the most goes directly to the final. What happens then is, should someone score more points, because then there's a possibility, right?
Yeah.
Because like Claggett, Claggett's kind of a draw machine. The poor guy's been very unlucky with that, you know what I mean? And not everybody here, I think, is going to get sparked, right? So who knows how many KOs we'll get in this tournament. So that being said, second and third place are going to fight, and that'll determine who fights the guy with the most points.
Shit.
Yeah.
These guys have their next year mapped out for them.
8 months.
Next eight. We're going to have a really fun next 8 months, Manny.
Yeah, every 2 months. Every 2 months, he's going to do another one of these.
That's awesome.
Grand prize, on top of obviously their purses, grand prize so far, 50K. They're talking about three minor titles. I personally hope that a WBC title is involved.
That'd be nice.
We're talking an international or a francophone or whatever. The reason I want a WBC is because I would love to have some drug testing on this. So
okay, is there something that we need to know off the air?
If the WBC is involved,
yeah,
there's a strong chance that it'll be, because the WBC has a clean boxing program.
Okay.
So in order to fight for one of their titles, normally you have to apply for the program anyway.
Okay.
However, during this pandemic, that might be halted. I don't know.
Somebody on the sauce?
For me, the only reason I want this is because it adds a level of seriousness to it.
Okay.
As stupid as it sounds, and it also fast tracks the winner with that title to fighting another fighter with a title. You understand?
You think the Francophone belt would do that, though? I'd like to see a silver international title or something like that.
Yeah, no, obviously, right? It'd be the stronger the title, the better the situation.
Yeah.
And I don't know at what point the WBC will care, you know what I mean? At what point they're like, okay, we have to, and you know what I mean? I do know they do have a program, but like I said, because of the pandemic, I don't know if it's going to be applied. But the Francophone belt will do the same thing as an international, depending on what the fights look like.
Okay.
See, that's the other thing that people aren't realizing. Because these guys are all pretty well ranked, right? Like, I'll give you an example. Let's just pretend this tournament wasn't happening. Germain would fight another Mexican guy, you know, and they would struggle to find someone that's ranked appropriately.
Yeah.
Clegg would probably fight another Mexican guy. Ulysses would probably fight somebody else on Golden Boy, you know, but their progression would not move as rapidly. What's happening here is they're all more or less ranked in the same spot. So this is the equivalent of everybody getting a Mexican fighter that's ranked as good as them. Paperwork-wise. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the winner that walks out of this is going to beat three guys that are ranked almost the same as him.
That's good.
Exactly. Well, it'll bump you up. On top of the belt bumping you up, it'll bump you up on the list.
Yeah.
Because you'll see guys, they'll fight a guy that's above them on a rankings list. They'll win, and then they'll fight a guy that's like 20 spots below them. And even though they win, all of a sudden their ranking dropped like 6-7 points. And they don't understand why. Well, it's because you digressed in, you know, in difficulty. But by doing it this way, it's keeping in that rate constant. So it's going to be like, fuck, I just beat three guys that are ranked in the top 40 or in the top 30, you know.
Before we move on into the Lomachenko fight that just happened on the weekend, I need an update. What's going on with my man Shaq?
Listen, he's just taking some time for himself, bro. He's living life, enjoying things.
He looks jacked.
People need to understand, in general, being a boxer is hard work.
Yeah.
And it's not just the training every day. It's the motivation to train that hard every day is, you know, and then add all the other stuff of life, you know, family, relationships, work, friendships, all of that. Sometimes from any of it, you need to take a step back and, you know, take some time for yourself. Shaq's good, man. He's, you know, happy, healthy, making money. So, you know, when a boxer doesn't have the urgency to fight,
yeah,
then, you know, it's like I said to somebody, I said, if he doesn't want to fight, I don't want him fighting.
Yeah, that's a bad look.
Yeah, because if he's good, like, you get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, he's making money. He doesn't need to go in there and get his face busted up for a couple bucks.
Basically. So I think, you know, and things went down with his promoter and he had to take fights and, you know, just the situation I think he wasn't enamored with. You get what I'm saying? And it's a big stress on your life. So why deal with it if you don't have to, you know? So for now, he's taking some time off. But if you look at him, he's in crazy fucking shape.
He looks jacked, man.
Oh, dude. So good right now. Kills me.
That's the meat, bro.
I know. Yeah, no, everything. Listen, hopefully me and him get, like, I still want to do boxing trips with him. Like, hopefully I get to fucking go to Philly with him and get a fucking cheesesteak, you know?
Oh, that'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Fucking borders.
Okay, so Manny, on the weekend, we had one of the biggest fights in recent history broadcast live on free TV. Vasily Lomachenko versus, damn it, I'm drawing a blank.
Teofimo
Lopez, who pulled the upset off.
Well, yeah, well, 8-1, consider it an upset. Yeah, he was an 8-1 underdog. 20% of people on Twitter, Google, and all that other stuff thought he was going to win. So if you have a friend that was like, I knew it, you can tell him the fuck off.
What a absolutely amazing display of boxing that gentleman put on that night.
Hey, listen, we've been sitting there marveling at Lomachenko from day one, right? How does he do this? Wow, look at this. Look at that. You know, that's the thing. Most of us have been looking at it in awe.
Yeah.
Teofimo's been sitting there and studying that shit and looking at it like, I got to break it. And he did. I don't know if it's the father or him, but the work to the body for me was just tremendous. I watched it 3 times now. If you get a chance to rewatch it, go look at the work to the body. Lomachenko does that thing where if he doesn't get you from the front, he just buzzsaws around the right. And yeah. Well, if you watch the fight again, now that you're watching for it, He shuts him down every time with a body shot.
Yeah.
So every time this motherfucker looks like he's about to parry off to the left or parry off to the right, boom, he hits him right to the body. And even if it doesn't land, the fact that he's threatening it.
Yeah.
Was making Lomachenko. It was like watching a guy. You ever watch like a movie where they're playing chess and shit and there's like an overconfident chess professional?
Yeah.
That's what it was like. That's exactly what it was like. And some motherfucker that's been playing checkers in the park just beat you.
I knew something bad was going to happen when I seen the first few rounds. And in the first round, Lomachenko threw one punch. That's normal.
Almost normal for him to take the first two, three rounds.
Yeah.
I didn't even panic the first three rounds. I was like, oh, this is a pretty good fight. The kid's got some fucking heart. You know, I was just telling myself that. But in my mind, I'm like, yeah, but the fourth round will come around and he'll start shutting that shit up. The kid's going to start getting frustrated. Because that's what happened with every other fighter. He shut them down mentally first.
Yeah.
Because they would just get so goddamn frustrated, they wouldn't know how to fucking approach what they needed to do. Whereas in Teofimo cracked it from the very beginning and just didn't lay his foot off the gas.
What I was seeing in the first couple of rounds was he was able to match him angle for angle and land a punch.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay.
And for the size difference, the fact that he kept the same... Now, he didn't have any crazy, you know, power-ups where he did like a 30-second berserker or something, right? If you watch the fight, he turned it up to a certain level and then he fucking kept it at that pace. The whole fight, he made Lomachenko work. The whole fight. I kept thinking he was going to drop off at some point. I didn't know how long he was going to be able to hold it on for, but God damn it. Even the rounds Lomachenko won... This is the other thing that for the people that are crying and trying to complain about judging and stuff. Even the rounds that Lomachenko won, he didn't win them wide.
No.
You go look at the other rounds he's won in the past. They're all wide. Crazy wide.
Yeah.
You're like clear as day that he won the round. This fight, it was like, well, yeah, I guess maybe I'll give it to him that round. You know, there was no round where I was like, oh, yeah, that's maybe... Maybe the 10th or the 11th, I was like, okay, that was a definitive Lomachenko round. But yeah. Otherwise, that kid's work rate, he has nothing but, you know, a lot of people want to talk about his dad and everything, but that kid has to fucking, you know, pat himself on the back. He put down, as far as outthinking the thinker, he did a fantastic job. A lot of people thought he was going to try and slug him out or
try and be rough with him. Is he ever fast?
Hey, and he even got Lomachenko to get fucking frustrated. Lomachenko with the little headbutts.
Yeah.
Huh? Trying to dirty shit because now it's not working for you. It was like, oh, so it's poetic justice. That fight was poetic justice.
I seen a lot of people bitching about round two. I was like, well, he landed one good flurry in a round that I felt Teofimo had already dominated that round.
If you want to give him a round. If you're like, okay, I want to give him a round. Which round can I give him?
Yeah,
maybe you can give him the round.
Yeah.
Like, if you're looking for it, you're looking hard to give him rounds, maybe round two. But the truth is, he didn't turn on until round seven.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had it pretty good until the 11th. He should have never let up the 12th round. Because if it was as murky as people thought, right, when it's a close fucking fight, the truth. I don't give a fuck what kind of computers they get, what kind of fucking great judges they get. The truth. They're going to remember that last 3 minutes.
Exactly.
They're
going
to forget about the last 30, right? And they're going to remember the last 3 minutes. So if you don't put down on that last round, the fact that it was murky in the fifth or sixth, and you're like, oh, well, did he turn on in the sixth or did he turn on in the seventh? It's decided in the 12th.
I thought Lomachenko had 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and then Lopez came out in the 12th round and blew the 12th round out of the water.
Yeah, no, like, he could have laid off the gas.
Could have.
That's the other thing. I think even his father was telling him to take it easy.
Yeah.
But we see now, you know, with the way everyone's reacting with the judges, well, with a couple of the judges, not all of them. One of them had it really wide for him. But, you know, had he not come in that 12th round, who knows the way it would have went down.
Amazing fight. A new star in the division's born. And let's not be fooled, all the people making dumb comments about Lomachenko online or posting stupid shit. That guy's far from done.
Watch. Who's the greatest of all time?
The greatest of boxer of all time, Ali.
Okay. How many losses does Ali have?
A bunch. Five.
That's my point. So anyone's just like, oh, he ain't shit. It's like, motherfucker, who's the greatest boxer? Muhammad Ali? Okay, five losses. Exactly. Now what?
Well, you look at even our Canadian guys. The two best Canadians at 140 pounds right now is Ulysses and Cleggett.
Yeah.
Both guys have losses.
The way the loss happened, who the loss was to, the circumstances, all of that matters.
Yep.
I hear stuff about Lomachenko's shoulder now and whatnot. I don't give a fuck. This is what people got to realize, okay? Aside from Manny Pacquiao, that was 106 pounds that went all the way up to 154. Manny Pacquiao is just another level.
Animal.
Lomachenko was down that path because he started off at 130, won a belt, 135, won belts. You understand what I mean? Actually, 126, 130, and then 135.
Yeah.
The fuck else? What were you talking about?
What did Pac-Man start fighting at? It was 118?
Pac-Man? I think 106.
106? I know he was small.
Yeah, no. I think it was 106. Because he started young, too. That's the other thing. Yeah. And Pacquiao's another one. That even before most people heard of Pacquiao, he showed up to the game with a couple losses.
Yeah.
He showed up to the table when HBO mentioned his name and, you know, they were fucking up his name because it was the first time he was on there. He showed up with a couple losses. So I think Lomachenko could still do great things. I think in reality, though, I think he's finally met his match when it comes to, because he's gotten away with murder.
Yeah.
As far as the size is concerned, because he's such a little guy for 135 pounds. So I think if he goes down to 130, there's a bunch of fights for him. Shakur Stevenson and so on. There's a bunch of fighters there. And he can re-cement his legacy and affirm and become another champ again.
I'm not terribly fired up about a rematch, although I would watch it, but I think it goes down the same but worse.
You know what the thing is with a rematch is? And this is the other thing people are bitching. Lomachenko gave up his money.
Yeah.
Lomachenko gave up money so we would get this on free TV. 4 million people got to watch this because Lomachenko took a pay cut and Teofimo asked for more money. Now, if the negotiations went down like that the first time, okay, and yeah. Lomachenko's the one with three belts,
yeah,
I doubt the renegotiation, seeing as how, this is the worst part, the reason there's a no rematch clause is because of Lomachenko's camp.
Oh.
That wasn't a request from Teofimo or any of them. They didn't ask for, like, oh, let's get two fights out of this. No, they said no rematch clause. That's how confident they were.
Wow.
Yeah, so they got to pay the piper now, man.
I'm not interested in seeing Loma up at that weight class again anyway. 130, I think, is probably his, or even lighter. He might be able to go lighter.
We maybe got a year of Teofimo making 130.
Yeah,
135.
Then he grows into his Dario Berdisian body.
Yeah, he's pretty much Dario Berdisian from the waist up.
Yeah. So it's good for boxing that he won, though.
It is. 23, it's a hell of a thing, man. Yeah. I don't know what you were doing at 23, but I was definitely not doing it as big as him.
Definitely not on that fucking level.
No.
And what a time to be able to pull out a big world championship fight like that in a fucking weird time in the world on free TV where everybody can watch it. That kid's a household name now.
Well, listen, Bob Arum is a motherfucking genius. This whole bubble thing has been a success, in my opinion. Him bringing boxing to the masses, he's been doing it since fucking 63.
Yeah.
You know, this was his guy against his guy. He did a passing of a torch here. He knew what the fuck he was doing. Yeah, I'm very confident he knew what the fuck he was doing. He's done this before. You know, Free TV was just the cherry on the sundae that guaranteed the winner was going to become a household name. Because believe it or not, Lomachenko, to us, we knew him. But Lomachenko wasn't going on Good Morning America. You know, he's not doing Kevin Hart or The Rock video TikToks or shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but Teofimo's dancing with Snoop Dogg on TikTok right now. You get what I'm saying? And I strongly believe that 4 million TV viewership was the cause of that.
I would say so. This might sound like a silly statement, but I was never a Lomachenko fan. I respected it. I just wasn't a fan of the style.
Well, look, I'll say this. When he first came out, I was mad. I was a hater.
Really?
Real mad. I thought it was a disrespect to the game that his first fight out, he got to fight for a world title.
Yeah, that's a little weird.
I was like, fuck him and his 400 amateur fights. Fuck him and his two fucking medals. I don't give a fuck. You come into the game, you do your work. If you get a chance, 15, 20 fights in, sure. But they gave it to him right away. I thought it was a power play. I was like, look at these motherfuckers. They're just going to buy this prick belt, you know? And then he had a couple wins, and they were against decent opponents, but I was like, they're just going to build this guy up. Look at him with his blue eyes. These fucking Russians, they love him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And such a hype job out of him, and all these fucking videos, and everyone's making such a big deal, it turned me off of him.
Yeah.
Then he fought Nicholas Walters. Nicholas Walters was my guy, the Axeman. That was my guy. I followed him from the beginning. Bad Jamaican dude. Bad as shit. I was like, fuck you, Lomachenko. Axeman's going to chop you down. He stole that man's heart. He took everything from him. He never stepped in a ring again, by the way. Walters disappeared off the face of the earth after that fight.
Fuck.
He ruined them. I watched a guy, like, it was sad. I remember being sad during the fight because I was like, this poor bastard has no answer. Zero. He doesn't know what the fuck to do. From that point on, I was on the Lomachenko train because I was like, if this motherfucker fucked up Nicholas Walters that badly.
Yeah.
The psychologically scarred him. You know what I mean? Like, fuck. So I got on the wagon like everyone else. I started paying attention to the footwork and everything else. And listen, it's amazing. The most important thing that came out of all of this that I want the boxers that watch your show to pay attention to is I don't give a fuck how long you can hold your breath underwater. I don't care what kind of fucking fancy treadmill you're using, right? A motherfucker from Brooklyn with a fucking overly loud and aggressive, probably drinking father beat your ass using some fucking kettlebells and a fucking heavy bag.
I think there's another guy we've seen do that before, too. Danny Garcia, his old man's pretty fucking loud too, and he whoops some ass.
But I'll say this, I kind of like Danny Garcia's dad better. Here's the thing, because I don't know if you looked into Danny Garcia's dad's past, but he does have one. There is paperwork.
Okay, really?
So, yeah. he's a pretty wild dude. I think his son, as like the thing they've never mentioned, I think Danny Garcia's son, the son, saved the father.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I think had Danny not boxed, I think the father would probably do in life right now.
Probably. He seems like a friggin'... He said some wild shit.
He's real, though. That's the scary part. I need you to get it. Yeah. Real, real.
Well, I do have to say that I don't miss a Lomachenko fight when they happen because I've seen him suck the soul out of so many people on TV, and I just, when the fuck is this going to end?
Well, we got our answer, didn't we?
Now, apparently, but hey, but like I posted in the post on Facebook, I think both guys are amazing, and I can't wait to see both of them get back in the ring again.
Absolutely, absolutely. Listen, Lomachenko's 34, 33, I forget how old now, but Teofimo being 23, having done so much so early, makes me so hopeful for the future. I think what we'll get out of him in the next 10 years is there's going to be a lot more Teofimo talk.
I seen some idiot today post on Facebook that Teofimo is the new Mike Tyson. And I was like, that couldn't be one of the more dumber fucking statements that I've ever read in my life.
You know what? It's just when that's kind of like when people don't know what to use as a, you know, an adjective. They just want to say he's got crazy power, but they don't want to use the words crazy power.
I guess.
But it's because, well, it is what it is, because people don't realize it wasn't even Tyson's power. It was Tyson's speed. You know what I mean?
A lot of it was intimidation.
A huge part. So Tyson's a whole nother ball of wax. I hate it when boxers use comparisons that don't make sense.
It made no sense to me. I was like, this fucking kid's not even close to Mike Tyson.
You hear it all the time. Even, listen, Deontay Wilder, as much as I'm not a fan of him, deserved a little similarity because he was knocking out guys right away, and there was a, you know, and he was American, and there was a lot of similarities that I can understand. But there's even the weight classes doesn't make sense. You get what I'm saying? I've heard them say that about Chocolatito. I've heard them say that. I forget who was the other little guy. They're like, he's like a mini Tyson. Oh, fuck. What does mini mean? You know, like, what are you trying to say?
Before we wrap this up, there's another mega fight that's going to happen in November, I believe. Iron Mike Tyson is going to return to the ring against Roy Jones Jr. in what's an exhibition kind of fight that's probably going to turn into a real fucking fist fight. But a lot of people are hating on it. I kind of like it.
Put that on pause right now. I'm sorry, but we got to talk about something. Saturday.
Saturday. Okay. I thought you were telling me the pause feed. Okay, Saturday, go.
This Saturday.
Yeah.
TSN 3.
Yeah.
Showtime Boxing. Lipinets versus Custio Clayton.
Forgot about that fight. Fuck.
Want to mention it. Our man, we've been waiting. Easily Canada's pound for pound best. He fell off the list out of inactivity, if anything. Okay? Yeah. I'm worried as fuck. Lipinets is a tough motherfucker, former world champion, but Custio has been waiting. I don't know how long. He was number one to Bud Crawford like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Right? He's been sitting in that mandatory position, put down a couple fights, but hasn't been getting too much work. They gave him a call about a month ago. We got the news about a week ago. Hell of a fucking fight. It's going to be on Showtime. There's a decent undercard. It's going to be on TSN live and free for all Canadians. It's a decent undercard. The main event, Custio Clayton fighting for the interim IBF title. This is the title that Spence had he not been in a car accident, would have held on to. So, should Custio Clayton, as I predict, win this Saturday, Custio Clayton becomes a world champion. We have another world champion here in Canada. Not only that, but he's got a direct route, lineups, maybe even matchup for Spence.
Did I read correctly online today that's for an interim title?
That's right. Okay. Again, because Spence was in the car accident, he couldn't defend his title.
It's a real title, though. It's a world champion.
It's the real world. The only thing that difference is the man. His first mandatory gets put on hold. Should Spence choose to fight for his old title?
Okay, and if Spence says no, the interim's gone.
The interim's gone, and he fights his first mandatory.
Oh, that's amazing.
The only thing with the interim is it's like saying I got first dibs on mandatory.
Either which way, this guy's getting paid in this fight and more in the next.
Well, on the next, yeah, because well, after that, then we got to talk some serious turkey because we got ourselves a world champion.
Yeah.
So Custio Clayton going to be a world champion this Saturday. The broadcast starts at 9. They should be in the ring by 10:30, almost 11-ish.
P.M. or A.M.?
P.M. Okay. Montreal time, Eastern Standard Time, so probably a little earlier for you guys.
Yeah, it'd be like 9 o'clock here, which is great. Okay, Mike Tyson, Roy Jones Jr.
Listen, it's for charity. I'm hopeful it stays Like, I'm hoping the promotion gets everybody worried that it's going to be a real fight. But I'm hoping it stays just a glorified sparring match.
That's the scariest fucking thing to say with a gentleman like Mike Tyson.
Listen, Roy Jones don't fuck around either. No. I don't know if you know this, right? But Roy's been staying active, right?
Yeah.
And on top of the fights that are on his box rec, right, he's also done charity fights that don't count on his record. Now, in these charity fights that he does in his area, Pensacola, you know, the people pay to do a couple rounds with him, you know, try and look cool with him, you know, and it usually makes somebody look real stupid real fast, doesn't hurt them too much, and then it's over with, you know. Yeah. When he does like two rounds with someone, they give some big money to a hospital or something.
Yeah.
However, I happen to know that in recent history, somebody got a little aggressive with him, and he sparked the guy in the first round, more or less. He was some sort of pediatric surgeon or something. And, he knocked him cold. And it caused a bit of a scene, because you can imagine these, you know, bow-tie-wearing people weren't exactly expecting. But the guy shouldn't have got aggressive with Roy. So
Mike Tyson's not a pediatric surgeon. Fight
against an ordinary citizen who doesn't box for a living.
Yeah.
Once properly motivated, Roy Jones decided to shut him down.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's definitely the sense that they're putting a tiger in the cage with a bear and they're looking to see what happens.
Mike Tyson looks fantastic right now, too. For 54 fucking years old, or however old he is, holy shit.
Well, he's also got the best fucking growth hormones there are right now, so.
I'm not mad at it.
No, not at all. And he doesn't hide it. This thing's not regulated. He does not hide it. He is on growth hormones. He swears by them.
Yeah.
So, hold on. 11. Sorry about that.
That's okay. Long story short, though, it's going to be a fun night. And we're going to see two legends in boxing get in there one more time and get after it.
There's so many people I know that have not seen Tyson fight.
What?
You know what I mean? Think about that. We're not that old, but we are that old, bud.
I guess, yeah. Yeah, we're 80s.
Listen, they were too young. They weren't watching boxing. I've had this said to me. I'm like, you ever see Tyson? And they're like, no, I wasn't. I'm like, well, what do you mean? Well, I was 6. I was like, oh, fuck. All right. Well, anyways, it was a great fight. That happens to me a lot. So, yeah, there's a whole new generation. Look, for these ass clowns that paid for fucking Paul Wall or whatever the fuck his name is, the kid with the blonde hair that does country club fucking pranks and stuff on YouTube. Whoever paid for that, right? I just hope they pay for this and then understand how they fucked up the first time. You get what I'm saying?
Well, that guy, that Paul, whatever his nuts is, they're saying that he's going to fight Floyd Mayweather in some kind of exhibition thing. Whoever fucking tunes in to watch that, I can't be friends with you anymore. I'm sorry.
Look, I don't think so. I know for a fact there are going to be two more exhibition fights for Floyd Mayweather, but they're both going to be in Asia. And they're both with one championship. Part of the reason for that is people don't know this, but again, I'm breaking news for you. Mayweather actually owns part of one championship. He invested with them a little while back. So it's a mutual beneficial thing for him.
So he's going to go over there and murk a couple kickboxers in an exhibition fight and then go home.
Yeah, pretty much. It's to sell tickets for the event, to sell pay-per-views for their event. You know, like as a shareholder, you know, it's beneficial for him that they sell more tickets and more shows. And he has a unique buying power that they can't get anywhere else, you know. So the minute he puts his name on something,
it's done.
I mean, look, any promoter here in Canada would have a chance of having an exhibition fight for Floyd Mayweather under their banner would do it in a heartbeat. Well, so it is what it is. I like the fact that he's helping out combat sports, albeit be somewhere else, right? For all intents and purposes, he could be doing shows like this here in the States.
He could be, but, yeah.
people look at it differently here. Whereas in Asia, they're just happy that he showed up.
On that note, Manny, we are way over time. Let's wrap this fucking thing up. Sunday nights, Talking Boxing on Facebook Live, Instagram Live. Guys, I tune into it every week. I leave fucking comments. I share the goddamn thing. Tune in and listen to what Manny Assays fills you in on everything that's gone on in the week in boxing and what's coming up in the next week. What's your handles?
At Manny Montreal or at Manny MPL.
Tune in. Talking Boxing. Guys, that's the final shot.